Good morning, I'm Amy Eddings, sitting in for Brian Lehrer. And before we start this next hour, I want to refer or finish up some business from the last hour. I want to tell you about the Cityscapes Flickr Challenge we've just launched. It's not just Michael Van Valkenburg and other architects who we are sending into the city with cameras. We want you to get into the act as well. The current challenge, photographing green. Head out and take pictures of nature's role in the busy New York cityscape. You can find all the instructions you need at the cityscape homepage, wnyc.org/cityscapes. We also have a link on our show page. Go to wnyc.org and click on the Brian Lehrer Show. Can't wait to see your photos. Get to work. It's been known by the name of Lavender Lake, not for how it smelled for sure, but for the blue and purple oily streaks visible on its fetid waters. There have been several attempts to clean up the industrial waterway, known also as the Gowanus Canal. Now the federal government is poised to step in. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency wants to put the nearly 2-mile-long canal that runs through Borum Hill, Carroll Gardens, and Red Hook in Brooklyn on its Superfund site list. Sounds good. But its big brother, the Hudson River, has been a Superfund site for decades, and that has yet to lead to any significant dredging. Joining me to talk about this and to answer your questions is the EPA's Walter Mugden. He's Region 2's director of the Division of Environmental Planning and Protection. He also served as Region 2's top lawyer for 10 years. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks. Pleasure to be here.
And a shout out to people who live near the Gowanus Canal. What questions do you have for Walter Mugden? Perhaps you weren't able to attend yesterday's informational forum hosted by Congressmembers Yvette Clark and Nydia Velasquez. What concerns do you have about making the Gowanus Canal a Superfund site? Maybe it's about property values or exposure to toxins or an end to some of the activities already happening on the Gowanus. 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. So you attended this meeting yesterday. Tell me about it. What were you hearing from people?
Well, there were probably a couple hundred people there. It was a big crowd, and they were extremely interested in the issue. There were strongly divided opinions. There were a lot of people who thought that the proposal we made, which is to put this site on the federal Superfund list, was the right thing, and that it would, as we believe it will, be the pathway to getting this canal actually cleaned up. But there are also a number of folks who felt otherwise and who thought that it would create a stigma on the community and maybe thwart some of the development, the redevelopment proposals that are underway. We don't think that's a legitimate or a likely concern, but it certainly is a legitimate one and one that has to be answered.
We'll unpack some of those concerns in a moment, but I wanted to step back a little bit. The Gowanus Canal has been a nuisance for decades. I remember noticing its rancid smell back in 1986. What has brought it to the EPA's attention now?
Well, procedurally, what happened is that the state of New York, which had taken on responsibility for cleaning up the sites around the canal from which the contamination has largely gotten into the canal, concluded within the last few months that they really didn't have all of the resources necessary to do both jobs, both cleaning up the sites around the canal and cleaning up the canal itself.
And give us a little snapshot. What are some of those sites? I know there was an oil company there for a while.
Well,
it still might be there.
The largest number of these sites, or the most of greatest immediate concern, were sites that are called manufactured gas plants. And for back since the 1860s, they were plants that would take coal and turn coal into the kind of gas that would come into your home to light your lights or to run your stove. That was in the old days how gas was made when it was first being used. The residue from those operations is something called coal tar, and it's filled with a lot of nasty chemicals. And a huge amount of that coal tar was left underneath the sites where the plants were located, right on the edges of the canal, because, of course, the coal came in by barge. And that old coal tar, which is still there, is oozing out, and it's getting into the canal, and it was dumped into the canal. We actually have levels of contamination that is associated with coal tar in the mud at the bottom of the canal that is extraordinarily high. Give you a sense of what we're talking about. Normally, when we talk about hazardous chemicals or toxic wastes, we measure them in parts per million, sometimes even parts per billion. And with the most dangerous chemicals, we actually sometimes measure in parts per trillion. These are very, very small quantities, and yet they're quantities of concern. Here we are measuring in parts per hundred. We actually have places where there's as much as more than 4.5% of this type of chemical in the mud.
Well, what role has earlier efforts played to clean this out? In 1999, a flushing tunnel that had been dormant for 30 years was finally fixed, leading to all sorts of new life, crabs and herons, for example, to flourish in the canal. There is currently a plan to shut that tunnel off for 18 months to do repairs. Did that flushing tunnel, had it been operating or to continue operating, isn't that flushing this toxic coal stuff out to the Hudson, not that we want it in the Hudson River either, but
in the harbor, yeah. The flushing tunnel has been enormously helpful to improve the actual quality of the water. The water was basically stagnant. There'd be a certain amount of tidal movement in and out, but basically the water was stagnant, and so all the contaminants would
settle on the bottom.
Settle to the bottom, and there really was no life in it because the oxygen levels were so low. By bringing the water into the head of the canal through this flushing tunnel and turning that back on again, the city made a tremendous improvement in the water quality. But it doesn't make much of a difference to the sediments sitting at the bottom. Those sediments, mm-hmm. which are feet thick in some cases, they stay there. So it's those sediments that we are primarily concerned with in the context of this Superfund listing process. It's actually the sediments in the canal that we would be most looking at.
So walk me through this. You're currently in a 60-day public comment period.
Yes.
Say the hammer falls and it becomes a Superfund site. Then what happens?
The next step is that we embark then on what's called a remedial investigation and a feasibility study. This is bureaucratese, but what the first step of that is to say we want to find out what contaminants are there, in what concentrations, exactly how deep and how far, and we want to assess what kind of a risk that they pose. Now, fortunately, a good deal of data has already been collected. The Corps of Engineers actually has been out there studying the sediment quality for the last couple of years. We're going to be able to build on that data. We're not going to try and duplicate it. So we've got a pretty good leg up on it already. But that is the first step, is just to find out what's there and exactly where it's coming from and where it's going.
Don't you also have to go after past polluters to get them to help pay for any cleanup? And
yes, we do. It's really on a parallel track.
But how's that going to go?
Well, it's going to be a challenge, but let me just quickly wrap it up. So after we study where the stuff is and what the stuff is, then we also have to figure out, well, what are the range of options of what you could do with it? And that's the feasibility study. What is feasible to clean it up? And at the end of that process, we make a selection where that goes back to the public.
Let me stop right there. Dredging is what everybody thinks, but are you saying that there might be something other than dredging that would happen?
Under the law, we're obliged to think of everything from taking no action and evaluating what that would do, all the way up to the most extensive cleanup you can imagine, which would be bank-to-bank dredging right down to the bottom.
Okay.
We consider a variety of alternatives in between as well.
So you consider those alternatives, we
make a recommended decision. We go back to the public, and we say, okay, folks, here's all the information we've gathered. This is why we have made the proposal we've made. What do you think? And we take a lot of input again at that stage of the game.
Sounds like many, 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 many years.
This process shouldn't take many, many years. As I said last night at the meeting, it'll take longer than people would wish, but less long than they would fear. We anticipate that this process I've just outlined to you, to the point of having a proposal, would probably be in the 2, maybe the 3-year range, but in that order of magnitude.
Rick from Brooklyn was at the meeting. Hi, Rick. You're on WNYC. Good morning.
Hi. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I wanted to thank your guest. I thought he was wonderful, very professional, very credible, and I also thought he did, while I agree with him, I thought he did a very good job at trying to address the concerns of those that didn't agree.
So you think it should be turned into a Superfund site. Why is that?
I do, and my analogy, and I own a building in the neighborhood, and I raise a family in the neighborhood, and of course I'm concerned about the canal, but my analogy is, and in my response to all the people that are concerned about the stigma, which seemed to be the key thing, my analogy is, if your child had cancer, you wouldn't not treat them because you were afraid that they would be stigmatized in school. For God's sake, you would get them the best care you could. And that's my analogy to this. It's a big problem, and it needs to be dealt with, not, pretended that it will go away. It won't go away until action is taken.
Thanks, Rick. When he talks about the hugeness of this problem, I mean, one thing Superfund listing would bring to bear on it is federal money. What kind of federal money would be available for any kind of cleanup, and How much of a sure thing is that given our current economic crisis and all the other things we're trying to take care of right now?
The Superfund, as it's so-called, is a fund of money. Congress puts money into it every year. And there's also a lot of money that goes back into it every year from what we call cost recovery. You alluded earlier to the fact that there are so-called responsible parties that we do look to when we carry out a Superfund cleanup. These are the companies or the entities that contributed to the contamination in the past, or their successors in the current era. Because, as I said, some of this contamination goes back two centuries. And that process, people are very concerned that that process of looking to those responsible parties and trying to get them to step up and do the cleanup work will slow it all very much down.
What happened on the Hudson. It's been years because of trying to get GE to step up, and they fought every analysis, every scientific document.
That's correct. It was a long fight and a very hard-fought fight, but in fact, we expect that that dredging will actually start next month. So that's
you heard it here
exciting.
First, folks.
And General Electric has done actually a terrific job getting ready to do that work, so we're very, very pleased with that. But what will happen in this case is that there will be two things going on in parallel. We will be doing this evaluation, this analysis, and coming up with a proposal for cleaning the site up. And if the so-called responsible parties are not willing or are not ready to step up to the plate and undertake that study themselves, we are likely to be able to carry that out using federal money. Now, at the end of that time, that's when I said we come up with a proposed cleanup plan. That's when the serious money starts to get spent, in all likelihood, or that's when we have to look for that big chunk of money. And again, our intention and expectation is at that point we will look to the responsible parties and we will ask them to step up the plate and do the work at that time. And our track record has been very, very, very good in getting that done. 70% across the country, 70% of all Superfund cleanups are done by the responsible parties and paid for by the responsible parties. The remainder are paid for out of the Superfund.
I'm Amy Eddings. I'm talking with Walter Mugden. He's EPA Region 2's Director of the Division of Environmental Planning and Protection about making the Gowanus Canal a Superfund site. Adam from Windsor Terrace, you're on WNYC. You have a question for Walter.
Yes. The understanding I have, or the limited understanding I have of our sewage system, is that when we have extremely heavy rains and the Gowanus Canal sits at the bottom of that big, big hill, that our the overflow goes into the Gowanus. Is that something you're familiar with? Is that something that's accurate? And is that something that will be addressed?
Yes. The way it works in older cities like New York is that most of our sewer systems are what are called combined sewers, which means that the sanitary waste from your house, from your sink, your toilet, your shower, and so forth, goes into the same pipe that also, when it rains, carries the rainwater that goes into the gutters and into the drains on the streets. So that's why they're called combined sewers. They were designed intentionally to not be big enough to carry all of the water that happens when you have a severe rainstorm. And so they were designed, the system was designed 100 years ago and subsequently, so that at low points, like at the head of the canal, there would be a so-called combined sewer overflow point, a CSO, you may hear that acronym. And so when it rains, you do get a diluted form of raw sewage that is coming out of there. Now, there aren't a lot of the chemical toxins that come out of that that we are primarily concerned about and finding in the sediments in the mud. On the other hand, there are severe water quality concerns that arise from this combined sewer overflow problem. The flushing tunnel that you spoke about a moment ago, Amy, that the city has reinstituted, has done a great deal to help mitigate the kinds of problems that a CSO would create in a body of water like that. But it is still a concern. The city actually is undertaking right now, or is starting a program right now, trying to improve that CSO point and make it work as well as it possibly can.
So it falls more on the city's shoulders at this point to address that.
Yes, and the city and the state are working together on that element of the problem. This is a big issue, and you got a lot of different moving parts, and they all got to be coordinated.
I want to bring in, for the final minutes of this conversation about the Gowanus Canal, Robert Spiegel. He's the executive director of the Edison Wetlands Association in New Jersey. We're bringing him on because he's been involved in the cleanup of over 75 toxic waste sites in New Jersey. Welcome to WNYC, Robert.
Hi, Amy. How are you today?
Fine, thanks. And I guess what I wanted to hear from you is your experience as an environmental advocate and as somebody working from the community side, what it means for a community to have their former trash dump or Gowanus Canal in their backyard declared a Superfund site. What tends to happen in these communities?
Well, when EPA first comes in and tells communities that they want to designate an area to be a Superfund site, there's usually a high level of fear. People are afraid. They don't know what it means. They want the sites cleaned up, and they really don't have any idea about what the process is or how EPA operates. We've been working on Superfund sites now for over 20 years, and our organization, the Edison Wetlands, spearheads a lot of these types of cleanups in New Jersey. As a matter of fact, we just had a site, the Raritan Bay Slag sites, added to the NPL along with the Gowanus Canal. But what it means is that now you have the federal government getting involved in a process that's slow normally, but it's a process. And normally when EPA comes in, it's usually at the behest of the state government because there's a problem that they just can't address, either because they don't have the qualifications, it's too big a job, or it's going to be too expensive.
Bob, has anybody's fears come true? Have you found in the communities that you're working with that they're property values go down, or that for example, there's a concern that somebody's phoning in here. What happens to the current canoeing on the Gowanus Canal if it declares a Superfund site? Does that do activities around a Superfund area get tabled once it gets on this site, and the federal government comes in and has to do all of these tests?
Well, I know that the Gowanus Dredgers Canoe Club uses this area and has for a long time, and they've been very staunch advocates to clean up the canal and make it a better place for people to come to so they can come down to the waterfront. And being a Superfund site doesn't mean that they're going to automatically make it off limits. What EPA will do is they will assess the water quality, they'll assess the potential for public health, and they'll look at, are there pathways of exposure right now that the public is being exposed to, and then they'll look to eliminate those pathways of exposure. So the answer is that I'm not sure if they're going to limit public access to the canal at this point.
Walter,
it really will depend on if people are being exposed to levels that are unacceptable.
Walter, you were shaking your head saying no.
It's unlikely that we're going to limit any public exposure. What we will try to do is give people information so they can make a sensible judgment on their own. I'm a kayaker myself. I'm not 100% certain I'd wish to kayak in this particular canal, given the levels of contamination in the sediment. But our job is going to be to provide information to people and let them make an informed judgment.
So, Bob Spiegel, your basic view, if I'm sussing you out correctly, it's a good thing, but communities really have to batten down the hatches and be prepared for a long wait before they can enjoy their newly cleaned up Superfund site?
Well, it's a good news, bad news. And it's good news because it'll bring federal resources in to address a significant public and environmental health threat. It's bad news because in New Jersey, we have a lot of what we call old dog Superfund sites. And they're ones that are a decade or older where EPA has promised a quick cleanup, but a decade later, we're still waiting for the results of sampling that was done years ago.
And so
it takes the community really getting involved and pushing EPA to get the job done quickly.
And your response to that, Walter, about it taking as long as it does when you're promising, quote-unquote, quick, is 10 years quick in terms of EPA lifespan?
Absolutely not. I mean, the Superfund is a big program, and there are a number of horror stories, as there always are in any program. But, in fact, I think some of the sites that Bob is referring to, and we have worked very closely with him on a number of sites, some of the ones that he's referring to, actually the state of New Jersey was handling and found that they simply didn't have the resources to manage them as quickly as we all agreed they should be managed. So by mutual agreement, we ended up taking them back. This is a complex program. I don't want to suggest otherwise. But as I said, I think that we'll be ready in the space of about 2 to 3 years to make a judgment about what should be done at this site. And I don't think it's going to be it's going to be expensive, but not a very complicated choice to make.
One last question that I want to take on this. Sam from Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning. I think you answered my question. It was more. I've been kayaking on the canal for about 5 years, and I've seen a lot of development there. And I was wondering if that development is going to stop, either A, if once it's declared a Superfund site, developers might want to develop there, or B, if there would be some restrictions on developing.
The Daily News was already reporting that Toll Brothers, which has approval to build 460 condos and townhouses near the canal, says it'll pull out if the Gowanus was designated a Superfund site. VP David Von Spreckelson says it would add years of delays to his project. Is that true? Should developers be wary?
Yeah, we think it's not true. This was a strong concern that was voiced by some of the members of the public yesterday night. We have two major objectives, and they work side by side. One is to clean up any Superfund site, and the other one is to facilitate and encourage and speed up redevelopment of those sites so that they can be brought back into productive use. And that use is going to be determined by the community. It could be commercial, it could be residential, it could be a natural area, a public space, lots of different uses. And there is absolutely no reason whatsoever why development that had been planned should now suddenly stop. On the contrary, we believe that this is the best and fastest way of actually getting the site cleaned up, and getting it cleaned up will even further enhance the proposal for redevelopment of the area. Everybody knows that the site is very contaminated. It's not as if we're telling people something that they hadn't really understood.
Right.
You said
or
that
smelled.
Right at the outside,
right.
At the outset of the program. So we think the actual prospect of now getting a cleanup done should really spur the redevelopment efforts that are already underway.
We want to leave it there. Where can people post their comments about this during this public comment period?
They can go on to the EPA website, the Region 2 EPA website, and there is a series of links that they can follow. I'm sorry, I don't have the exact link that'll get you directly to this.
EPA.gov. Start there. Go to Region
right.
2
go
and,
to Region
and
2
find
and
your
work
way.
From there.
Walter Mugden, EPA, Region 2's Director of the Division of Environmental Planning and Protection. Thanks so much. And thanks to Bob Spiegel, Executive Director of the Edison Wetlands Association.
Yep.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Amy.
And tomorrow, the Leonard Lopate Show will be talking about the status of that other polluted Brooklyn and Queens waterway, Newtown Creek. Be sure to tune in. This is WNYC.